I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. We've been talking about faith and healing. And we said that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is substance and faith is evidence. Amen? And if you want to prove something, you're going to need evidence, aren't you? Even if you have a theory, that's Hebrews 11:1 tells us that faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And we went into great detail about that. And there's all kinds of things that faith will produce. Faith will form and fashion things. Did you know that faith is creative? Faith has the power and the ability to create. That faith can make something out of nothing. Faith is the way that we please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith warns us of things not yet seen. How many know that God said to Noah, I want you to build a boat because it's going to rain? Did you know that Noah never saw rain? You read the Bible, the earth was, a mist would come up out of the earth. So Noah was preparing something for something he never saw. And he did it solely based on what God said to him. That was the only, what God said to him was the only evidence he needed to start building a boat. Now, I don't know if he was near a seaport. Can you imagine how crazy Noah must have, the people must have thought Noah was? Faith can divinely lead us. If you're going to trust God, you're going to have to do it by faith. It's by faith that we inherit God's promises. You know, God's got a lot of promises, and they're not just automatic. We have to receive them by faith. You might think of faith like this. Faith is the currency of heaven. When you go to the gas station, you either pay them cash or you put it on a card, right? And you have to have money or credit on that card. If you don't have money or credit on that card and you go to pay for it, what's going to happen? You're not going to get the gas, right? But because we have to use currency to exchange things. Well, faith is the currency of heaven. By faith, we can raise the dead. Did Jesus raise the dead? Did the apostles raise the dead? Did the old-time prophets raise the dead? Amen. And we can still raise the dead today. You know, by faith, fathers would bless their children for their future. And what the father would say would take place in the child's life. The blessing was so powerful. But those things are done by faith. I'm just reading some of the things by faith that were done in Hebrews 11. Because we're going to get to Romans 10 here in just a minute. By faith, you can see into the future. How many know that Enoch, he was not. Why? Because he pleased God. Enoch saw that there was going to be a rapture sometime in the future. He said, well, I might take mine now. And he just stepped over into glory. But what a testimony he left behind. He pleased God. So Enoch must have walked by faith, because you can't please God without faith. Did you know that by faith you can overcome suffering? There were many people who were martyred for their faith. They said, okay, if you deny Jesus, I'll spare your life. But if you don't, I'm going to kill you. How many know that those people suffered by faith? A lot of them. But you can overcome suffering by faith. You can overcome the destroyer by faith. You can overcome obstacles by faith. These are all in Hebrews 11, all right? Okay, let's go to Romans chapter 10 here. Anybody excited about faith? Okay, I want you to know that faith works in the heart. Okay? Romans chapter 10, and let's look at verse 8. But what does it say? The word is near you. And in this scripture, where does it say the word is? In your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Listen, it's good to be in a place that preaches faith. Did you know that Jesus was a faith preacher? Because everything he did was by faith. But isn't it interesting how the Bible tells us where faith is? It's in your heart and where? Okay, so faith is in two places. And what is in your heart has to agree with what's in your mouth and vice versa. If there's any disagreement between your heart and your mouth, faith will not work. Okay? So, the word is in your mouth and in your heart. That, why is the word in your heart and in your mouth? Here's why. If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. How many saw Jesus when they confessed him as Lord? Anybody here saw Jesus when you confessed him as Lord? So, in other words, you were talking about someone who you couldn't see naturally, right? But based on your confession, you confessed him as Lord. Okay? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what? Things not seen. So when you confessed Jesus as Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what happened? What happened? You got saved. You believe something in your heart. You believe the word of faith, which you heard. Someone told you about Jesus. Someone brought you to a place that they spoke about Jesus, and something happened in your heart. You're like, I believe that. And you were compelled to confess Jesus as Lord, and when you did, you got saved. Now, the way you got saved is the way you receive anything from God. You believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth. Okay? For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, it's not just enough for you to believe. You've got to take what you believe and speak it with your mouth. You know, there's a scripture, I forget where it is, but the Bible says the demons believe and they tremble. But they don't confess what they believe. You know, now a demon can't change. The devil can't change. Their punishment is set. But you and I can change. See, faith is a force that works in your heart. Bible says you got to guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. For out of it flow the issues of life. You got to guard your heart. Say, I got to guard my heart. You got to be careful what goes into your heart, and you got to be careful what comes out of your heart. You know, because what goes into your heart will come out of your mouth. Did you know that your heart leaks through your mouth? Matthew, I think it's either 12 or 15, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what's in your heart, what you've been putting in your heart, if you've been watching horror movies for the last month, I guarantee you that you're going to have fear in your heart. If you've been listening to negative speech for the last month, guess what's going to come out of your heart? That negativity. See, we got to guard our heart. Why? Because faith is an issue of the heart. Heart knowledge is where you have the revelation and the reality and the experience of faith working. See, faith works from the inside out, not the outside in. Because faith, Jesus said that faith is like a mustard seed. What do you do with a seed? Do you just lay it on top of the ground? No, you at least get it in. You got to cover it with some dirt. You put it on the inside. See, faith works on the inside. Say, faith doesn't work in my head. It works in my heart. So what works in your head? That's mental assent. Things that are produced in your mind, your reasoning, your thinking, your feeling, your criticism, your emotions. And then we talked about, a little bit last week, faith has to be developed. Did you know that faith is like a muscle? And just like a muscle, you can exercise your faith to make it bigger, stronger, and more powerful. Or if you treat your faith like a couch potato. You know, couch potatoes, they don't really develop, do they? How many know, you get at home and you're watching a TV, you've had a rough day, and you'd be like, oh, because you don't have to think. You can just let that TV talk to you. And that's okay. But you got to know that your faith can be, how do you develop faith? There are a few things that you can do to develop faith. Number one, you got to meditate. You got to mutter, repeat, ponder. You got to go over and over and over what God said. That's one way that you can develop your faith. Okay, God told Joshua, meditate in the book of the law day and night, didn't he? He said, then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Number two, you've got to exercise confession. The way that you exercise faith is you speak what God said. That's how you exercise faith. We're going to get it more into the speaking part tonight. You got to profess a good confession. Hold fast to your confession without wavering. Number three, to develop your faith, you've got to let God's word digest. How many know if you ate steak and potatoes a couple hours ago, it takes a little bit of time for that to go through your body, doesn't it? Listen, faith isn't always instant. You know, faith is not like a digital camera where you can take a picture and instantly you got the picture. Sometimes it's like that. But a lot of times you got to go over it and over it and over it and over it to get it on the inside of you. How do you digest your food? You take a bite, you chew it, you swallow it, and then your body does the rest on the inside, doesn't it? Digestion is a process. A fourth thing that you can do to develop your faith is memorization. Memorize Scripture. Know where what God said is found. Isn't it interesting how Jesus could open up the book of Isaiah and he knew exactly where God was talking about him? John the Baptist knew exactly what Isaiah said about him. Listen, you've got to know where things are in the Bible. And if you're not a good, if you don't think you have a good memory, at least know the chapter of where it's found. Because you've got to be able to quote it accurately. Did you know that the devil used Scripture against Jesus? You need to be able to say to the devil, it is written, and it is also written. See, but what the devil does is he perverts Scripture. Because he's the father of lies. So if you don't know the Bible, then the devil can lie to you. And what's worse is you'll buy the lie if you don't know what God said. What did he do from the beginning? Did God really say you're going to die? Yes, he did. Now shut up. That's what she should have said. But no, she said, well, she began to entertain the lie. And then fifth thing is you got to purify You got to maintain a pure conscience. If faith is working on the inside, then, you know, God will cleanse your heart. The Bible says in Hebrews, God cleanses our conscience from dead works. And then finally, to exercise your faith, you've got to think right. You've got to think on things, whatsoever things are pure, honest, just, lovely, of good report. Right? Now, let's go to verse 17 of Romans 10. He says this, he says, faith comes by what? And hearing what? Can faith come to you any other way? Nope. This is the only way that faith comes. Okay? Faith comes by hearing what God said. You know, Jesus, you know the story of Lazarus and the rich man? Lazarus was a beggar who died, and he was there at the rich man. Did you know that the rich man was all of a sudden interested in his brothers getting saved? And he said, Lord, raise someone up from the dead. And Abraham told him, he said, they have Moses and the prophets. They need to believe them. Well, Moses and the prophets at that time was the word of God. There wasn't any other word other than the Moses and the prophets at that time. But did you know that that's sufficient enough to produce faith? See, here's the thing about faith here. That word hearing is the word akoe. It means the act or the sense or the thing heard. It means hearing what's preached, hearing a report. And that's what, you know, so faith comes to you when you hear God's voice. And this is God talking, right? But faith also comes another way. How many set of ears do you have? You have two. You have an outer ear, right? And you have an inner ear, don't you? Because inside your ear, you have an eardrum, you have an ear canal, you have something that vibrates to allow you to hear sound. Faith comes when you hear God's voice, but also faith comes when you hear yourself say what God said. Because you will believe what you say more than what anybody else says. Get some good looks. See, faith is activated in you when you hear yourself speak what God said, because your words affect you more than anybody else. And the word that he's talking about here is the word rhema, which is the spoken word of God. See, isn't it interesting how faith is in two places? What are the two places where faith comes to? Your heart and your mouth, right? So when you are speaking what God says, you're gonna have a quicker production. Faith is gonna be produced in you quicker than hearing someone else say it. You might say it like this. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message comes through preaching Christ. That'd be another way that you could say that. See, faith comes by you hearing the word of Christ. What did God do to create this world? Isn't it interesting how from the very beginning, God established a principle by speaking. Now, you got to understand something. When God spoke, what did God say? Let there be light. When he spoke that, what did he see? No. He saw darkness. The earth was form and void, the Bible says, and darkness covered the earth, but he didn't speak what he saw. He spoke what he desired. Now, if we'd have been God, we'd have looked out the window and said, my goodness, it's dark out there. I think it's getting darker. Right? But when God looked on the darkness, he didn't say, oh my goodness, the darkness. He said, let there be light. And he changed the atmosphere by what he said. Didn't he? Go ahead and read Genesis 1. My goodness. See, here's what you got to do. How many know that words transmit things? How many has ever been hurt by words? How many has ever been inspired by words? Words affect things. Words are containers. They can bring healing or they can bring harm. And see, words transmit what you believe, both positive and negative. So when the earth was without form, it was void, darkness was upon the face of the deep, God spoke something and he caused it to be, because his words were full of faith, and whatever God says happens, because he is perfect in faith. There is no flaw in God's faith. And how many know that we can have the faith of God? Jesus told his disciples, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. Or you could say, have the God kind of faith. Say, I have the God kind of faith. Isn't that awesome? So words, they can create, invoke emotion, they can inspire, they can hurt, they can persuade, they can deceive, etc., etc., etc. So you have to avoid perverse speech. You know, the Bible says a lot about speech. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who eat it will be satisfied with the fruit thereof. So your words have to be in line with God's words. In other words, you've got to make God's words your words. And God gave us a book to be able to do that. He gave us the Holy Spirit, who brings us into all truth, who teaches us, who leads and guides us, and he always goes in line with the Word. He never goes against the Word. The Holy Spirit's in line with the Word so that we can be in line with the Word. We can make God's words our words. Okay? What is perverse speech? Perverse speech is contrary speech. It is saying things you don't really believe. Like when you see a little dog and you say, look at that big dog. In essence now, you're deceiving your own heart. If you speak like that in everyday conversation, it's going to be hard for you to speak in faith. Because you've gotten in the habit of saying perverse things. If you've said perverse things, you got to stop, repent, and you got to renew your mind. Amen? The best way to avoid perverse speech is always speak what you desire to come to pass, or speak what your will is. Remember what Mama said? If you ain't got anything good to say, what? Don't say it. Little did you know that mama was speaking a spiritual truth. Praise God for mama. So you've got to allow God's word to be conceived in your heart. Then you've got to form that word with your tongue. And then you've got to speak it out of your mouth. Conceived in the heart, formed with the tongue, spoken out of the mouth. There was a psalmist who said, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. And doesn't God want to write his law on your heart? Absolutely. He wants to write his law on your heart. So let me go over that again. God's word or words need to be conceived in your heart. You know, you got to get God's word in your heart. Then you got to form those words with your tongue. Then you got to speak it with your mouth. When you do this, that will release the creative ability of God. When God's words are conceived in your heart, formed with your tongue, spoken in your mouth, you're going to be a loaded weapon. And then when you speak, God's creative power will bring whatever you're saying into being. It'll manifest it. Just like God created the worlds. Whose image are we made in? Can we do things like God did them? Can we follow Jesus' example? We can do what he did. We can say what he said. Consider the source of your words that you use every day. Where do your words come from? Do they come from your emotions, your feelings, the opinions of others, the news, your experiences, or the Word of God, or other sources? Where are the words you're using? Where are they coming from? We got to consider that. Now, why is it that whenever God speaks something, it happens? Number one, God cannot lie. God meant what he said, and he said what he meant. Okay? Hebrews tells us that God cannot lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Number two, he is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. He didn't say, I'm a truth. He said, I'm the truth and the life. This is why God, everything he says comes to pass. He cannot lie. He is the truth. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. From the very beginning when God spoke this world into existence, he hasn't changed. He doesn't change. He doesn't waver. He doesn't differ with what he says. His words are forever established in heaven. He said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. This is why whatever God says comes to pass. Now, if we never lied, if we always spoke the truth, then our words would do the same thing. But unfortunately, this old flesh house gets us in trouble sometimes. Okay? His words created everything. Jesus said, I only speak what I hear my Father say. I only do the things that I see my Father do. He was in complete harmony and unity and agreement with God. He walked with God. That's why there's such power in his words. Did you know that your lifestyle can either enhance or take away from the power of your words? When Jesus was tempted, what was his only defense? It is written. Now you have to understand something. When Jesus was tempted, there were two forces at work. One was the power of suggestion. The devil said, well, if you're really God, first of all, Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was God. And he didn't have to do a thing that the devil said. Did you know that the devil couldn't tie him up? The devil couldn't force him? The devil couldn't make him do anything? All the devil could do was suggest. And Jesus' only response was, it is written. It is written. It is also written. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. How about when Peter unknowingly was yielding to the devil and he was going to try to stop Jesus from doing what he did? Jesus told Peter, he wasn't talking to Peter, but he said, Satan, get thee behind me. Because at that moment, Peter was yielding to the wrong influence. So, are you getting this? Now, let's look at one example. Go with me to Mark chapter 5. And let's look at verse 25. Faith is something that has to do with your heart and your mouth. And your heart and your mouth have to agree with the Word of God. Okay? Any departure from the Word of God is a departure from faith. Faith comes only by the Word of God. Okay? And faith is activated when you speak what God said. And when you speak what God said, you can't change your mind. I'll go over that in just a minute. Verse 25 of Mark chapter 5. A certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years. So she had a problem. How long was this problem? Okay. Verse 26, she suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had. And what was her situation? Nothing better, but it grew worse. Now, I want you to understand, for 12 years, she heard, we can't do anything for you. We can't change your situation. But yet, she still paid money over 12 years. She kept pouring money into this problem, and with no solutions. Can you imagine? She might have been frustrated. She was putting it up with this for 12 years. Now notice what changes in her life in verse 27. She gets new information. When she heard of who? And who is Jesus? He's the Word. Notice, she heard of Jesus. So for the first time, in 12 years, she wasn't hearing how you can't be healed. She was hearing how you can be healed. Notice, when she heard, do you think that she had an opportunity to believe what she heard? The Amplified said she heard and heard. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. So she did something based on what? Huh? Well, more importantly, she did something based on what she heard, which is faith. When she heard of Jesus, faith came to her heart. Now she had faith in her heart, but faith in your heart is not enough. You've got to act on your faith. So she came and touched his garment, for she what? Verse 28, she what? She what? She kept saying. See, she heard it. When she heard it, it entered into her heart. It was conceived in her heart. And she got really excited because she started saying what she heard. And when she said what she heard, she acted on it. She said, if I may touch but his clothes, what? I shall be. She made a declarative statement based on what she heard. The only evidence that she had was what she heard. She had no other evidence. For 12 years, all the natural evidence was against her. But this time, what she heard was different. So, she did what she said, didn't she? She said it, and she did it. And verse 29, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. Hallelujah. Praise God. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. In one moment, 12 years of putting up with stuff changed. And the only evidence that she had was what she heard. And she took to heart what she heard, and she started speaking it out of her mouth, and then she went ahead and did it. Notice, who set the terms of how she was going to be healed? She did. Because, notice, verse 30, Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out. That word virtue is power. Power had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, if he was God, wouldn't he have known who touched his clothes? But see, he was a man. Even though he is God, he was a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Now, and his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you and say, who touched you? There were a lot of people touching him. But only one touched him in faith. Only one tapped into the power source that was there. You're talking about the walking Word, the Word made flesh, the Son of God. He's walking along, and he's already on assignment from Jairus. And this woman comes and interrupts the whole thing because of what she heard. And she took to heart what she heard, she said what she heard, and she did what she said. Now, can you tell that her actions, her words, and her heart were all in agreement? There was no disunity between her mouth, her heart, and her actions. That's true faith. When all those things are in complete in line with God's word. So Jesus said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples, they're like, man, people are touching you. What are you talking about? Yeah, someone touched me in faith. Every other touch that he was having on him was not in faith. Only one. Verse 32, he looked around to see her that had done this thing. He must have knew it was a woman. Woo! You know what? Praise God for women who can bring heaven on earth. Praise God for women who say who make up their mind and they're going to go after it and they're going to get it. Say, I've made up my mind. I'm standing on the rock. I'm not turning back. Praise God for this courageous woman who pressed in. Now, do you realize losing blood, she was probably in a weakened state. In her body, she probably didn't feel like crawling through the crowd. Well, I don't feel like I'm going to go to church tonight. Okay, but the woman, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. That's key. She knew what was done in her. You know what? She knew it before it was done. She was fully persuaded and absolutely convinced that she shall be healed. She knew it before she knew it. That's where you got to get to with faith. You got to know it before you know it. You got to know it so that nothing can convince you otherwise. Nothing can sway your mind. Nothing can deter you. Get out of my way. I'm getting my miracle. Nothing is going to stop me. Just like those guys that cut a hole in the roof, nothing stopped them from getting to Jesus. She came, fell down before him, and told him, what did she tell him? The truth. Notice, she's speaking the truth. And he said to her, daughter, my power has made you whole. Is that what he said? He said her faith. Her faith was the thing that made her whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Because she agreed with the word is agreeing with her. When you agree with the word will agree with you. When you stand up for the word will back you up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to bow to a golden statue. God said, don't bow to idols. Don't worship idols. And what did they do? They didn't bow. What happened? They were delivered from the fire. When you stand up for the word will protect you. The word will uphold you. The word will sustain you. The word will relieve your burden. Now, let me just say this one thing. Go to verse 23. Jairus came to Jesus, and he came to Jesus, didn't he? He besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she what? Okay. And she what? Okay. Notice what he said in the very beginning. Come lay your hands on her, she shall be healed, right? Okay? Now go down to verse 35. While he yet spoke, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble you the master any further? And look at verse 36. What was Jesus' response? Come on, talk to me. Now, the question is this. Is Jairus going to stick with what he said, or is he going to waver in the face of a circumstance? The circumstance was his daughter was near death now, but now she's dead. Jesus heard what they said to him. And his response was, be not afraid, because fear will hinder your faith. Notice, Jesus couldn't make Jairus not afraid. He had to choose not to be afraid, because fear was knocking at the door. What are you going to do now? The devil was saying, what are you going to do now? Your daughter's dead. What are you going to do now? 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 I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to believe. Ha ha! Take that, Mr. Devil. Verse 37, he suffered no man to follow him save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Listen, you better surround yourself with only people who believe. Put the doubters outers. Put the doubt out. He came into the house and saw the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why do you make this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead but sleeping. I want you to notice what Jesus said to the atmosphere. Because Jairus believed the word, now the word is speaking up for Jairus. Verse 40. What was the people's response to Jesus? They laughed at him to scorn, but when he had put them all out. Listen, there are times when you got to clear the atmosphere. He took the damsel and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was lying, and he took the damsel by the hand. Isn't that exactly what Jairus said to do? If you lay your hands on her. So Jesus is now laying his hands on her. And he said, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. So Jesus did exactly what Jairus said, because he believed what he said. And he had to keep believing what he said. He had an opportunity to change what he said, because the circumstance changed. So Jairus had an opportunity to change what he said. You can't put your faith in the circumstance. You've got to put your faith in something that doesn't change, that is established forever. And Jairus must have, he did not give in to the fear, he gave in to faith. Do not fear, only believe. That's a choice, isn't it? And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And it was all based on what Jairus did and what Jairus said. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, it was based on what she heard and what she said and what she did. It was her faith. And let me go back here for a minute. What does the next verse say? Or is that the end of the chapter? See here. Oh, and he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded something should be given to her to eat. Faith is an issue of the heart. You've got to believe in your heart, but that's not enough. You've got to confess with your mouth, and then you've got to act on what you believe. Well, what action should I do? Whatever action is necessary for you to get what you believe. Amen? But these are examples. These are examples of Romans 10 coming to pass. Except it's not with salvation, but it's with healing. But you know what? No matter what God gives you, it's received the same way. The same anointing heals you. The same anointing casts out devils. Say, I am a person of faith. I believe God. Based on what he said in his word. Irregardless, if my circumstance changes, I'm going to keep believing God's word. I'm sticking with the word. The word is my life source. The word is my lifeline. God's word has not let me down. Will not let me down. Cannot let me down. I have faith in God's word. God's word gives me faith. I can do what God said I can do. I can have what God said I can have. I am what God's word says I am. That is my final answer. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's how we have to approach faith. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence. But the violent then take it by force, and force, faith is a force. And yes, sometimes you got to fight for faith. Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. because there is an enemy who walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Notice he can't just devour anybody he wants to, but the only way that he can devour is if we give him permission. But the Bible says for us to not be ignorant of his devices. Amen? God is good and greatly to be praised. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, that faith in your word works. It works all the time as long as we work it. As long as we apply the principles of faith properly, it'll produce a change in our circumstance. And, Lord, we'll bring the unseen into the seen in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're here tonight and you would like prayer for anything, the altar is open. We're taking prayer requests because we have answers. We have the power to change things. Amen. And if you need prayer for anything, it's open for you. But take this message to heart. Study it. Get it. Go it over it and over it and over it. Amen. You know, maybe the Lord will lead us to print Wednesday night's bulletins. But you can listen to it online for those of you that have a computer. If you don't, you can get a CD. Amen? There's lots of ways for you to go over it and over it and over it. You got to digest some of this. So if anybody needs prayer, the altar's open. So if you have to go, you can go. But, you know, do we have a song that we can just worship God with? Let's play that song, Healing Rain, that we played, the second song. Play that. You need prayer for healing. You need prayer for strength. It doesn't matter what you need prayer for. No one will know but me and God and you. So just come on up for those of you needing prayer. God's power is here. Hallelujah. His anointing to break yokes.
Healing rain is coming.